had two excited girls came up to me at two different times to preach this lesson. And so, one wasn't here, the other one wasn't here. I had something else that I had to do. And so, we're finally here. I'm finally able to present it. And I wanted to sing the song as we did a month ago, and I'm not ready to sing that song, but we'll work on that at song practice, which, by the way, is normally the first Sunday, but I'm going to push that back 1 week. That way Roger and Eloise will be back with us. We don't want to lose any song leaders right now. And so, but it is nice to be able to sing praises to God, and this is a wonderful song that's easy for us to learn. You would open your Bibles to John chapter 13. I'm going to look at I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's a good chance I'll present another lesson or two from time to time concerning this subject. It comes from John 14, but let's get kind of a feel of John 14, 6 by beginning in John 13. I'm not going to read all of this, but John 13, you know, we look at this first two verses. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him. And Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come forth from God, was going back to God. Here, it's interesting. I underline this here and highlight it. Jesus knowing. Jesus is ready. When you read John 17, you can hear the trembling in his voice, the missing his Father face to face. He's going home. He knows he's going home, but he knows that there's something he must go through again, and that is dealing with Satan. That's dealing with Judas, who has allowed Satan to enter into his heart. He's going home to the Father. That plays an important part in this lesson in John 14 in verse 6. We see in verse 4 that he gets up, laid aside his garments, taking a towel, he girded himself. Because these guys were still struggling with the idea of a physical kingdom. They are still struggling with who is going to be the greatest. Jesus, understanding that, the man who is about to be arrested and hung on a cross, gets down on his hands and knees and starts washing the disciples' feet. He has this towel. He deals with Peter, who's like, no, you can't be doing that. And Jesus lets him know, if I'm not going to do that, I mean, you've got to have all of this, all or nothing here. And then, as Peter would say, you know, wash everything. But Jesus he lets him know that the one, verse 11, he knew, the one who was betraying him. For this reason, he says, not all of you are clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, reclined at the table, he said to them, do you know what I've done to you? Wouldn't you love to be I don't know about you, but I would love to have seen the looks on those men's face. For one thing, we know how astonished Peter is. We know Judas has hardened his heart. But man, I tell you, there must have been some glassy-eyed stare in his face. Faces of what just happened. And he tells them, you know, do you know what I've done to you? And he lets them know. He says, verse 13, you call me teacher and Lord, you are right. For so I am. Teacher, not just any teacher, and Lord. If then the Lord and the teacher wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. You have been bickering and carrying on with one another about who's going to be the greatest, and you know that I'm the teacher. You know that I came from God and I'm washing your feet. You should have this attitude and mentality. I've given you example, he says. A slave is not greater than his master, nor one sent greater than the one who sent him. Now that's important too, because Jesus is going to keep telling them where he came from. And he's telling them where that he's going to leave. And he's going back to the one who sent him. I want to just go down to verse 21. We'll go back and look at the verses I just skipped. But Jesus is troubled in spirit. And he says, truly, truly, I say to you that one of you will betray me. Now, if the looks on their faces weren't astonished and troubled before, imagine now. So please, don't be so easily, yeah, I've heard this read a bunch of times. Understand the emotions that's going through at this point in time. They've been with him over 3 years. One of you is going to betray me. Now, he has told them what's going to happen to him. And they've kind of, I don't want to hear it. You know? But he's told them, one's going to betray me. And so they're looking at one another at a loss to know which one he was speaking. There was reclining. And one of the other Gospels, which I really like, it mentions they were asking of themselves, which is really neat. You know, instead of saying, yeah, I knew it's that guy. No, they were asking of themselves first. But here, John is close by, and Peter kind of goes to John, looking at him, you know, nods to him, find out, you're there. You know, find out. Tell us who he's speaking about. So John leans back, Lord, who is it? And this is, I don't know about you, but this is always makes me kind of wonder here, because it's so obvious, but yet nobody knows what's going on. Jesus answered, it is the one whom I shall dip the morsel and give it to him. So it's like, it's got this bread, and you dip it in that oil, and then he gives it to him. So he dips it. He took and gave to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. After that morsel, verse 27, Satan then entered him. Therefore, Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. And so, who is it? Who's the one that's going to betray us? Well, the one that I'm going to dip in this oil and give to one of you guys. And he does it. And then he says, what you do, do quickly. But none of them, it says, verse 28, no one of those reclining at a table knew for what purpose he had said to him. For some were supposing because Judas had the money box that Jesus was saying to him, buy the things we need for the feast or else he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel, he went out immediately and it was night. And I think there's a lot of emphasis to place, and it was night. There's this theme of darkness and light throughout John. So I think that things were, my thinking on it, these guys were overwhelmed. It was like one thing after another. They weren't expecting to have their feet washed by Jesus. And then the things he said after that, and then don't underestimate them seeing Jesus so troubled. I don't think they've seen Jesus in this way very often. And then he says, one of you going to betray me. And then the next thing you know, Judas is getting up, and that's probably something that's happened before because he's got the money. Go do this and that. And everything just kind of flew over their heads. And so there's a lot going on. There's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of things that are flooding on. And just try to realize yourself when you might be overwhelmed with one thing after another after another. And they just seen Jesus on his hands and knees. Now they see him so concerned and upset. And this, well, then Jesus says, out of everything, after Judas leaves, says, now is the Son of Man glorified. And God is glorified with him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify himself immediately. Wow, what does that mean? Sometimes we overlook that passage, but what is Jesus saying again? He has drawn the connection between him and God. That closeness, that one. That's hugely important when we look at this topic. And as he's trying to teach them. And then we see the man who was on his hands and feet, the man who was so troubled, then say in verse 33, little children. What does he mean by that? It is such a term of endearment. Little children. I am with you a little while longer. You will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. Okay, so, bam, here comes another one. This is a lot of information that I believe everybody in here, all the way down to Lucas, has heard. But these are things that we've got to understand and listen to and put ourselves and understand what they're going through here, what Christ is going through here. And so, here I'm going to leave, and you're going to look for me. And I've said this before, and they're trying to, you know, grapple with that and everything else. And then, bam, Jesus shoots out another one, verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Do people and Christians really know that you are a child of God and are faithful? I've seen some examples of those who called themselves Christians, and they do not have love for one another because of what they want trumps everything else. That is 180 from what this is. So Peter, good old Peter, love one another, the example, he washed the feet, he's upset, Christ is upset that someone's going to betray him, I'm leaving, and Peter, his mind's probably hasn't left this betraying and leaving, and he says, where are you going? Jesus says, and it's interesting, he asks him where he's going, because Jesus will rebuke them for not asking where he's going. At any rate, Jesus says, where I go, you can't follow me, but you will follow later. And Peter says, Lord, why can't I not follow you right now? I'll lay down my life for you. I'm right now. Will you, Peter? Will you? You're going to deny me three times. That third time, the rooster's going to crow. We open to chapter 14. This is all one setting. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. It's all one setting here. And so Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Why would their hearts be troubled? Oh, I don't know. I'm going to be gone. You're not going to be able to find me. Someone's betraying me. I'm upset about that. Where are you going? We're not going to see you. Look at verse 27 of chapter 14. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives peace to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful." I love this passage. I preached on this passage, but just keep the passage right now in the context. Because he's about to tell them, you're going to go through all kinds of mess. You're upset now? Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be fearful. I imagine that's all there is in their hearts right now, is some fear and trouble. Because don't we always like to know what's going on and what's going to happen? So he tells them to believe in God, believe also in me. There again, there's that God and me together. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. And Thomas said, probably beat Peter to the punch. Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Do you remember I kept telling you that there's so much emphasis put on Father and Christ being one? Go back to 13 and let's look at a part of scripture I purposely let out after he had washed their feet. Look at verse 18 of chapter 13. Says, I do not speak of all of you. I know the ones I have chosen, but it is that scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats my bread and has lifted up his heel against me. From now on, I am telling you before it comes to pass, so that when it does occur, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He had just got through saying this to them. Are they having a hard time getting it all reconnected and putting it all together? Yes, they are. Thomas, where are you going? We don't know where you're going. We don't know anything, how this is, how this is going to work. I'm the way, he says. That's the way. I am the way. I am the truth. I'm the life. Verse 7, if you had known me, you would have known who? My Father also. From now on, know him and have seen him. You know him and have seen him. Once again, that connection. And that connection just abounds and flourishes like a beautiful flower in chapter 17. That is the setting for this passage that so many people know and love. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So these men, you know, their hearts are troubled. Yeah, their hearts are troubled. Jesus was upset. Peter's told he's going to deny him 3 times. He says he's going to be betrayed. Peter's going to go through this. You know, do you think maybe they thought maybe Peter's the one that's going to deny him? There's all kinds of things that's going through their mind. You know, self-confident Peter, he was so certain that he could not only follow his Lord, but even die with him and for him. But see, Peter, just like us, so often didn't know his heart. We don't know our heart. Except we know one thing, our heart can be easily troubled. That's a fact. And the fact that he was going to leave them probably was the biggest blow there was. Where was he going? Could he go with him? How could they get to where he was going? How are they going to survive without them? Think about without him. Think about everything they've gone through in 3.5 years. They've seen teaching of Jesus unlike anything else. They have seen people that were dead come out of that tomb, such as Lazarus. Some saw that little girl. They've seen people fed with next to nothing. They've seen the weather be commanded by Christ. They've seen him walk on that water. They've seen so many different things, and now he's going to be gone. Jesus is trying to calm them down now. He's trying to calm them down. He's trying to understand. Thomas is asking these questions, but I'm certain every single one feels the same way. Peter was alluding to it too. And that's what's so wonderful about this song. It's I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the light. I am the Son. I am the Lord. I am the King. I am the Christ. I am the bread. I am the vine. I am the first. I am the last. Believe in me. Be not afraid. Come unto me. I am the way. John 14, 1 and verse 27 that ends it, it closes with, do not let your hearts be troubled. In verse 27, nor let it be fearful. And so he's given us these things and he tells us, I'm telling you now so that you know when it happens. He does the exact today. He has told us what's going to happen, and it should put some fear in us. But then he says, don't be afraid or fearful, because I am the way. Because I am the truth. I am the life. The word Father is used 53 times in John 13 through 17. Heaven is my Father's house. Jesus is now at that place for all true believers. When he was here, he was a carpenter. Now he's returned to glory and has continued to build. And that was his church. And that church, that spiritual kingdom, will be delivered once the tares are removed. That claim, be the only way to the Father, is so overwhelmingly supported in his life, in his death, and so powerfully seen in his resurrection. And it's interesting that in the broader context of Scripture, Jesus tells his disciples that the works that he did with them were sufficient, more than enough, to produce faith. His word, because he is the word, is sufficient to produce faith. Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. I also find it interesting with Abraham and that poor man in his bosom and that Lazarus that is suffering, and he wants someone that would be dead to come there to go talk to his brethren, because then they would listen to that. And he says, if they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, they're not going to listen to that. They're not going to listen to what we have here. Sending someone who's resurrected is not going to help. Jesus has a little bit of knowledge on that. Jesus, who was God in human body, is the way, is the truth, is the life. in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, Paul writes. Notice how personal this is. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. If we want to study about Christ being the way, the truth, and the life, then we've got to crucify ourselves with him and die to sin. And it's no longer about me. It is about Christ. Now Moses asked a question in Exodus 3. And I'm going to have to do some editing. Exodus 3. You can look at Exodus 3. Moses, 80 years old, spent 40 in Egypt, ran from Egypt, spent 40 as a shepherd, sees the burning bush. God has seen his children suffering and the things that are going on. He wants to send Moses back there. His life has been prepared for this. He has education of the Egyptians. He's got the education of being a shepherd. He tried to do some delivering when he was there. They weren't ready to listen to him. Hence, he had to leave. He spent 80 years preparing Moses for 40 years of faithful service. You know, God's time is not our time. God's ways are not our ways. So Moses, after going up and wanting to see this burning bush, God's wanting him, he begins with, well, they won't listen to me. I can't talk. Someone else will be doing a better job. But he did ask the question, they're going to want to know why I have the authority to approach Pharaoh and say to let the people go. They're going to ask what your name is. And his reply in verse 14 of Exodus 3, I am who I am. Moses told the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. And the name I am comes from the Hebrew word YHWH. And how do you pronounce that? Well, the Jews took the vowels from Adonai, which is Lord, with the capital L, and they used some of the vowels in there to get Yahweh, which was what we use as Lord in our English Bibles, capital L. Except for the American Standard, we use Jehovah. The name expresses the concept of absolute being. The one who is and whose dynamic presence on our behalf, it expresses a meaning, I am who and what I am do not change. I'm here with you and for you. There was so much fear with this name, I am, with YHWH, which Yahweh, that they were afraid to even pronounce it out loud. And yet today people go around saying, oh my God, God this and God that. I hate even saying that. That is so downright disrespectful. 9 places in the Old Testament, the Lord kind of filled in the blank about this I am. I can't pronounce these, so bear with me. Yahweh Jireh, the Lord will provide or see to it, from Genesis 22:14. That is the time that Abraham had taken Isaac, his only son, to slay him on that knife. But he was stopped, and a ram was caught in a thicket. It was provided. Yahweh Rophi, the Lord who heals, in Exodus 15 and verse 26. Following the crossing of the Red Sea, and they sing that song of Moses. And right after that, it's not too long, they're thirsty, and the only waters there at Marah are bitter. And, you know, and being in that area, you see the beautiful Red Sea right there, and you're thirsty, and you can't drink that. And now you're here, and it's bitter, and you can't drink that. And it's like we're, you know, all these people, and they're thirsty, and they were complaining. And the Lord, as they threw that stick in there, made the water sweet. He provided. And then there's Yahweh Nissi, the Lord is our banner, in Exodus 17:15. And remember, as they go along, and the Amalekites, they're told to defeat the Amalekites, and Moses' arms, as long as his arms, and hold your arms out sometimes, see how long you can keep them out. Just see how long you can keep them out. And he had those holding him, and when they would get down, you know, then they started losing the battle. There's a royal banner given for display to the soldiers of the cross. And then, Yahweh Kadesh, the Lord who sanctifies, in Leviticus 20 and verse 8, these laws that condemn human sacrifice. And as soon as he gives these laws that condemn human sacrifices, he says that he will sanctify. Then Yahweh Shalom, the Lord, our peace, Judges 6:24. This is during the time of Gideon. And Gideon is to go out at night and pull down those altars of Baal and Asherah. We know what that type of worship involved. And then, the Lord is my shepherd, Psalms 23. He has made us and calls us his sheep because it is the animal that is the most helpless of all animals. Then there's Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, in Psalms 46:7, used 261 times in the Old Testament, those armies that are of heaven. And then hosts, we can think of all the stars as well. And you think about that army of the Lord's. And then there's Yahweh Tsekenu, the God of our righteousness. In Jeremiah 33:16. 14-16, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I fulfill the good word which I have spoken concerning the house of Israel, the house of Judah, in those days, and at that time I will cause the righteous branch of David to spring forth. He shall execute justice and righteousness on the earth. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell in safety. And this is the name by which you will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. For thus says the Lord, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel. Jeremiah 31 is speaking of that new covenant which we enjoy now. And here we see another name being used: the Lord is our righteousness. And then there is the bottom one, Yahweh Shema, the Lord is there. That's the last verse of Ezekiel 48, verse 35. That we read, we see how in the beginning of Ezekiel, how that temple, how God's presence left there. We saw the same thing when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem and he wept over that temple, and it was his presence left there. Well, Ezekiel, that whole last section that we were reading for months about the measurements of these temples as that spiritual kingdom, that spiritual temple which is the church, and how he is back there. He is there. It's time to quit, and I'm halfway through this lesson. All these names, I wanted you to see in John 13 through 17, and particularly 13 and the first part of 14, how Jesus kept saying that relationship of him and the Father. He's going to the Father. The Father sent him. They are one. So all of these names here also refer to Jesus Christ, because he is Yahweh Jireh. He can supply all of our needs, and we do not have to worry. Matthew 6, 25 to 34, Matthew 4, 17, my God will supply all your needs according to his glory. As Yahweh Rophi, he is able to heal us, just like he did in the Marah with those waters. In Yahweh Nisai, there's that banner. He helps us fight. We win. We win. Read Revelation. Read Romans 8. We win. That banner is ahead, overhead, just like it was over the Amalekites. We belong to Yahweh M. Kadesh because he set us apart for himself. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. Look at verse 11 in particular. Such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of Lord Jesus and the Spirit of our God. We're talking about people that were fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, homosexuals, drunkards, thieves, just flat out troublemakers. And this was brought up originally with those who were sacrificing humans, but the Lord sanctifies. And then there's Yahweh Shalom. He gives us peace in the midst of storms. Peace with God from sin. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for as many as are the promises of God in him, they are yes. Therefore also through him is our amen to the glory of God through us. Those promises he is so faithful to. And the Yahweh Roi takes us to Psalms 23, but it also takes us to John 10, where he knows our name and we know his name. And we're there under that shelter, and we are totally dependent on him, as it should be. Then there's the armies of the heaven and the earth are under the command of Yahweh Sabaoth, and we're not to panic. And you look at the stars and know the armies are even greater. Because we have trusted in Yahweh to Tzedeknu. We have his very righteousness put to our account. He became sin for us. Our sins and our iniquities are remembered no more. He came the first time so that when he comes the second time, he doesn't have to destroy us. Because he went through everything without sin, taking our sin upon him. Yes, he is the way. He is the truth. And only in him is life. Where was I? When in doubt, click. Hebrews 10:17. Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. You know, because his righteousness was put to our account, our sins and iniquities are remembered no more. And then there's Yahweh Shema, God with us, Matthew 1:23, and he will be with us even to the very end of the age, Matthew 28:20, Hebrews 13:5. For he himself says, for 5 and 6, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Because you can see in the top, he provides, he heals, he's our banner, it's victory. He sanctifies, he's our peace, he's our shepherd. In his incarnation, when he came here, when Jesus came here as God and man here, he came to earth not as a burning bush, but he came as a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground, Isaiah 53. He became a human, a man for us. He became obedient unto death for us. He became sin for us. He became a curse for us. And on the cross bore the curse of the law for us. The very ones who broke the law and sinned. And one day we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 John 3 and verse 2. What is God's name? Where is he going? His name is I Am, and that is the name of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. John provides some answers to these questions. John 6:35, verse 48, I am the bread of life. John 8:12-9:5, I am the light of the world. John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. John 10:9, I am the door. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And John 15, verse 1, I am the true vine. Quickly. John quotes 7 other witnesses who affirm that Jesus Christ is the God, is God the Son. John the Baptist says, I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. Nathanael says, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. The Samaritan says, it's no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world. Peter says, we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. The healed blind beggar says, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. And Martha says, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. And Thomas, that Thomas that asked that question, and he was gone when Jesus first appeared back after that resurrection, and then he sees and feels, and he says, my Lord and my God. The question is, how about you? How about me? Jesus said to him, because you have seen, you've seen me, because you have believed, blessed are they who did not see yet believed. Brethren, that's us. That's us. In his I Am statements, Jesus not only tells us who he is, but he tells us what he can do for us. What we can become through him. If we are really, truly, spiritually hungry, he offers us the bread of life. To those walking in darkness, he gives the light of life. to those that fear death, he takes that away. Because he is the resurrection of life. He is the way. He is the truth. And he is life. What more could we ask for? Can we be sure of going to heaven? Absolutely, yes. Can our lives be fruitful for his glory? Yes. If we abide in him and draw upon his life. In Jesus, the great I am, we have everything that we need because he is the way. He is the only way. Because he is the truth, the only truth, and because he is life. And we can be just like him if we remain faithful. If you're not in Christ, you don't have this hope. If you're not faithful as a Christian, you lose this hope. But we see that grace of our God all through Scripture, and we see it so greatly shown on the cross. Father, forgive them, the very ones that treated him the vilest way, including you and I. He wants us to be forgiven and be with him. So we must do those things. We must be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. We must live a life daily to glorify God. We must be aware of those around us, whether those of the world or those that are brothers and sisters in Christ, and put ourselves back of the line and help others. That's love. We can help in any way. Make it known as just leaves.
There's a fountain.